Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This morning, I want to let you in on a little secret. When I was just a teen, I dreamed of being a rock star. And on the stage with millions of people, I anticipated that the world would be forced to construct venues large enough to hold all of my fans. And I would sing, and I would amaze, and I would definitely awe. And wherever I went, countless people would follow me. They would hang on my every word, imitate me in every way. Well, every way except being as awesome as me. And as you might conclude, the number of fans who would end up listening to me sing and be amazed and would stare at me in awe only ever amounted to 4, and only during the first couple of years of their lives. My children now don't revere me quite so highly. But in my mind, I would have these millions of followers who would stand beside me and congratulate me for any accomplishment. And they would stand behind me and support me through any challenge. And they would be there to protect me from any harm. And I would have followers who would stand on the rooftops and shout that they were my biggest fans. But never in a million years, never would I consider even one of them being ashamed to know me. And all of this simply because I could sing. In today's gospel, we read about John. He was imprisoned and unable to speak to Jesus. So he sent his disciples to inquire about him. Was Jesus the one the world was waiting for? Was he the one that the prophets foretold? You see, John was in prison because he was preparing the way, the path for the promised Christ. And he might have even believed that his death was imminent, so he just wanted to know. Had Christ come, or should the world still wait? And the response from Jesus was profound. He didn't simply answer the question. Instead, he invited him to look around and see all that he was doing in the world. Starting in verse 5 of the gospel, we read, "The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." John could decide for himself. And there's a lesson in there for us as well. We, too, can see the reality of God all around us. We can see it in his creation. And we can see it in his work throughout our lives. But I'd like to set that aside today and talk about something just a bit different. Something that really challenges me, and it might even challenge you too. You see, in the next verse, Jesus says something, at least to me, is unexpected. He says, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." What does that mean? He had just listed all of these amazing accomplishments. The blind receiving their sight. The lame being able to walk. The lepers that are cleansed. So what did he mean? He had large crowds following him. If we go back into Matthew 4, just after the temptation in the desert, this is what we read. His fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. So let me ask again, why would they be offended? Who was he even talking about? In his day, he was talking about those that would abandon him upon his arrest. The disciples and all of the other followers would flee and they would deny their association to him. And they would be offended at the very suggestion that they knew him. And as he hung on the cross, abandoned by God for their sins, they would be nowhere to be found. And so on that day, when Jesus answers the followers of John, he blesses those that won't run from him. And you see, that blessing is for us today. Do we hide our knowledge from others? Do we hide his word from others? Are we offended that we believe in a creator of the universe? Do we share God's word with others? Or do we reserve it only for our Sunday conversations? But you see, none of this really gets to the foundation of Jesus' statement. He was a rock star at that time, and he was performing far more amazing feats than simply singing. So why would they be offended by him? Now for us, we know the rest of the story. We know of the work that he completed on the cross, his resurrection, and that salvation that he earned for us. So why would we be offended by him? The answer, I think, is pretty simple. They viewed him as a rock star. Someone who could perform for them. But once they realized that it was all real, once they realized that he indeed was God in the flesh, they would have to face the consequences of that knowledge. And we read later in Matthew that Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Take up my cross, he said. Do unto others, he says. Love God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. And love your neighbors as yourself. You see, once they realized, well, let's set them aside and let's talk about us. Once we realize that this is not a show, that we can simply leave it at the doors of the church every Sunday morning, it becomes very real. And we are faced with a decision. Do we stand unashamed or do we run away offended? And if we decide to stand, then we proclaim to the world that there is no show to leave from. And we proclaim that we are part of the death and resurrection by association with Christ Jesus. And we become accountable for obeying his commands, to love one another, and to share the gospel with others. When we're asked about the deeds of Christ, we can look to Jesus as our model and respond. See for yourself what Christ has done for us and through us. The poor are fed, and the naked are clothed. And they'll reply, sure, but even the wicked do these good deeds. But we'll respond, see for yourself what Christ has done in us. We are transformed from the inside out. We love the unloved, forgive the unforgiven, and serve the undeserved. We spend our resources freely to share the love and the forgiveness of Christ. Advent is a time where we prepare for the coming of our Lord and Savior. And it is a time where we can look back at that past year and forward to the coming year and renew our call to Jesus to strengthen and preserve us in faith and to fill our hearts with the courage to proclaim to him, to proclaim him Lord to the world. Let us pray. Lord, you restored sight to the blind and healing to the crippled, and the crowds gathered. You were arrested and sentenced to death, and they all fled. But even so, you sacrificed your life for each one of them and for each one of us. Lord, help us respond to your love by being your hands and your feet. Give us the strength and the courage to serve your people with selfless hearts and open hands. We have been made holy through our baptism and set aside for your services. Use us, Lord, we pray. Amen.